Welcome to the Trauma Healing Tribe,
the official podcast of the Comprehensive Resource Model,
an advanced therapy integrating ancient wisdom
and modern neuroscience
to heal the multidimensional roots of trauma.
And I'm your host, Melanie Swan. Welcome back, everyone, to episode 6, What is Core Self? And once again, Lisa is joining us today to cover this rich and diverse topic. Lisa, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me, Melanie.
So, Lisa, what is Core Self?
Core Self is, in my experience and the way that I've been facilitating people to connect with it, at least through CRM, it's the non-intentional, energetic, vibratory state of consciousness that just is. It is the essence of us that is the only state of consciousness in us that is not a dissociated ego state. It is the foundation of our essential self. It is the us that is unconditional love that is everlasting, the us that is joy that is never fleeting, even if we don't always feel it overtly. It is the us that doesn't have to and will not actually, core self doesn't do anything. It doesn't bestow compassion. It doesn't do forgiveness. It doesn't actively provide anything for anyone at all. It simply is the state of the God spark, I guess you could say. It's the state of the, and I use this word loosely because I can't think of any other word to really use, but it's the state of the divine that is in us. It's that God spark in us. It's the us that is light, the us that is sound, frequency, vibration. It is the us that is completely separate but present with trauma and is not in any way influencing or influenced by traumatic experience. And it's the essential us that does have that awareness, that consciousness of where we are in our soul journey. And somehow when we use it and when a person is embodied in that state, it allows us to simply experience the true state of this essential, non-intentional, some people might call it a spiritual state. Other people might just call it a state of consciousness or awareness. But it allows us to experience this state that actually is a disembodied state because it exists whether we are incarnate in a human body or whether we are not. And in this protocol that we use and in the conceptualization and practice of accessing it, the goal is to be able to transform or unify that state of our essential, non-intentional, unconditional love that is everlasting self, no judgment, that has no judgment, doesn't even think, into an embodied state in the human life. So we're combining this very energetic dimension of consciousness with our human experience so that the essence of what it is and the resource that it is can be manifesting and influencing our actual day-to-day living as a human being. So it's bringing those two things together.
How did you come upon that?
Well, when I was kind of evaluating over time, what is missing in me as a result of my trauma history? What is missing in my clients that I'm seeing? What is the deficit that needs to be filled in order for healing work to stick, to expand, to go deeper? I was looking for what is missing in people, especially in my family as a result of trauma and my clients, because I was seeing a lot of really dissociative clients. And one of the things that I found was missing was a remembering, a re-membering of this essential self that is not an ego state, that has nothing to do with our structural personality. Basically, connection to God, a connection to source, a connection to higher power, something like that. And that that is in us. So it, what was missing was this connection to who we are as all of that. And it makes sense that we would lose connection to that. First of all, I think it's part of the human experience to be separated from it the moment we're conceived, actually. And then by virtue of all the attachment disorders and attachment disruptions, I mean, that happen throughout our lifetime and all of our traumas, big or small, pulls us further and further away. We dissociate further and further away from that God spark consciousness in us. And I think that one of the teachings of being a human being is to be able to find our way to turning back toward that in ourselves, and that our trauma is actually an opportunity to do that. And so when I was developing the model and I was running into a lot of clients and myself, my family, who were holding, I am bad. It's my fault. I'm inherently defective. I'm egregiously awful. Basically, I don't deserve those kind of belief systems. I am unforgivable. Those kind of belief systems were not clearing, no matter what kind of work I was doing. It didn't matter what kind of ego state work I did, what kind of parts work, what kind of trauma processing. It just didn't matter. That by the end of a session, it would seem like it had shifted. And then the next session, they'd come in with the exact same stuff, the exact same belief systems. So that's when I was thinking, what I need, a resource state that is the dialectic to I am bad. And so what is the opposite of I am bad that can resource and provide the juxtaposition for processing? And to me, it was, I am divine. I am of the higher frequencies, the higher consciousness. So then the question was, how do I get there? How do you get somebody to find that?
Yeah.
And so I had met Shirley Jean Schmidt at an EMDR conference or something like that. And I had read through one of her protocols. I had just gotten a hold of one of her manuscripts. And I was reading this age regression protocol that she used, where she was bringing together these three different resources that she uses to process with. And one of them was a spiritual self resource. So but I asked her if I could use her age regression technique to go back there. And I wasn't really planning on using her conceptualization of spirituality. I just needed a way to get back to the state where that would kind of unfold and reveal itself. And she gave me permission to use her age regression technique. So that was given permission for. And I started to do that just to see what would happen. And it did turn out, and the languaging for it just came from, I guess, some of it. I mean, the actual age regression is definitely Shirley Jean's, but the languaging of evoking core self itself just came from in me, as well as probably someone I heard talk or use a phrase over the years, which honestly, I can't pinpoint. But it did mostly come from, what is this thing that I'm looking for? What is the opposite of I'm bad, I'm horrible, I'm defective? And so I just started using languaging that was the opposite of that, just inviting and bringing forward after the age regression, trying to bring those things, those qualities forward in the remembering, to bring forward that state of being, unconditional love that is everlasting without doing anything. It's just being. And it worked. It worked. And over the years, when I say it worked, I was able to help people access that dimension, that state of consciousness. We added an I position to anchor it. And then we were able to use it for numerous things. Initially, it was used as a resource state, and the I position anchored it neurologically in the human body in order to provide the juxtaposition for the trauma material that was running, I am bad, it's my fault, I am defective. So that seemed to really help be able to dislodge and shift the trauma material, whatever it happened to be that I was working with. And so over the years, I just started to tweak the languaging, refine the intention of it. And it's just morphed into what it is today. But it's foundationally the exact same thing. It's just a state of higher consciousness, frequency, vibration, awareness that simply exists as who we are across our timelines, across our soul journey. And it's there as just the essence of who we are that is the divine spark of whatever that mysterious thing is that we're all searching to return to.
Yeah.
So that's basically how it came to be. And other things have developed as a result of that process.
Just to give listeners at home an idea, could you give us an example of just what it feels like when you connect with Core Self?
That's a very difficult thing to answer because it feels different for different people, and it can feel different across time within the same person. So for instance, I may go on my Core Self or go get into Core Self, go in my Core Self I position, just be in Core Self today, and I may feel a sense of utter bliss and ecstasy. I could do it tomorrow or Thursday, and I get a state of simple blank neutrality. So the point of it, the actual point of it, is it seems to, I'm just saying from what I'm noticing, it seems to provide what is needed that moment. So if I, in that moment, and this is unconsciously even, may just need to reconnect to bliss and the ecstasy of being alive or my life or joy or whatever it might of myself, just in relationship to myself, if that's what I'm needing, even unconsciously, Core Self, and if that is an alignment with my highest good, Core Self will provide itself in that way. If I'm needing to have some room and space to simply get out of the chaotic, fragmented, 3D problem-solving crap that you have to deal with every day, and I need some time and space, and I go on Core Self, it provides that blank, neutral, calm stillness. That it's like a sacred stillness that gives me a minute and gives me a reminder, re-minder, of what state I really want to be operating from, and the space to just think, all right, wait a minute, is all this really necessary that I've got myself all riled up about X, Y, or Z? People will report it in many, many different ways. So it is not what one wants all the time. Somebody might want to experience Core Self in a certain way. You're not necessarily going to get it that way. It's like you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And so it just kind of provides whatever it is you really need in the moment in order to live your life and manifest through your choices and your responses to others or self. It gives you the chance to respond in a way that is not contaminated by traumatic events, collective programming, templates, energies that have been developed and created, not just in society, but just within our lineages. It over supersedes and transcends all that.
So this feels, you know, having done the Core Self training, it was a very special experience. Could you describe the Core Self training like an overview? What happens in it that most people come out with a connection with Core Self and the ability to work with clients with it?
Well, one of the ironies is one of the overarching theories and concepts of CRM is helping people to remember and process and clear the truths of their life. And in CRM, it's across timelines, dimensions, lineages, species, but to clear the events that led to a dissociation from that aspect of self. And the overarching conceptualization is a return. It's an acknowledgement of when we split, the split second moment of splitting from self, from source. It's when we turn away from that as a result of certain experiences and truths of our life. So the whole idea in CRM is to bring people to a state where they're able to choose to turn back toward self, a good relationship with self, a non-judgmental, loving relationship with self and source, higher power, whatever you want to call it. And so the paradox, though, is by virtue of our truth of the life experiences across timelines, we have ended up holding belief systems, holding traumatic experiences that block our ability to actually remember and access it, because it might be because we feel unforgivable. We can't possibly be that higher God spark, unconditional love, because we are so horrible, because we did all these things, or our ancestors did, or wherever it's coming from. And so in order to help people learn how to remember and step into the embodiment of Core Self, we have to be aware that there are going to be blocks and obstacles to that access by virtue of people's belief that they don't deserve, or that they will lose their power if they do. It will be a weakness. There's all kinds of things that are created that will block access to it. So in the Core Self training, we start with an introduction to CRM generational work, which is usually where the block to accessing Core Self can be found. So I have to teach enough of that. So when someone goes to do the Core Self protocol, they know what to do if they run into these obstacles or blocks to it. So that's the first part of the training, is the introduction to generational healing. Then we teach what is the actual protocol. What are the troubleshooting points in terms of what you can run into from dissociated part states in this timeline and other things that come up just by virtue of an age regression? You know, there's just different aspects of our neurophysiology get activated when it hears a certain age. So we teach the protocol, and then they practice that, and we talk about all the different ways to use it. If you wanted to just break it down into two very fundamental reasons to use it, it would be to, I think primarily, remember who we really are. This is who we really are underneath all the crap and the teachings and the lessons that were provided and all the life experiences that we're faced with that we have to respond to neurobiologically, emotionally, cognitively, spiritually. And so for me, the most important thing is if we can live and at least access the ability to be in a state of unconditional love, no judgment every day, then our decisions and our interactions with other people, whether it's as a parent, whether it's as a child, a therapist, a worker somewhere, I mean, whatever our life is at the time, if we're able to be making choices and responding to others from a place, a state of Core Self, it will change someone's life significantly for the better. And that will ripple out into others, in their families, in their circle, in the collective, because everything is connected. So any work that one individual does to evolve, to grow, to heal, is going to have even a small, tiny impact in the collective because of everything is a gigantic energetic net. So for me, that's the most important thing. Get back and live like a loving human being that doesn't judge, and literally do that from a state that isn't even conscious. I mean, it can be conscious, but a state that isn't explicitly created. It's a remembering. The other use of core self is to access it, embody it, anchor it in the nervous system through an eye position, and use it as a fundamentally underlying framework for trauma work. Because if you're working on really egregious trauma memories and attachment disruptions and hurt and wounds and pain that you could barely tolerate, that have made you feel, I am disgusting, I am not human, I am a failure, I am unlovable, having the opposite self-experience of that, which is core self, juxtaposed in that trauma work, allows for a different type of resourcing and a different infusion of what is in us that can be remembered and used as a, like I said, a framework or a foundation for keeping someone fully present as they do their trauma work, and adds that element of the undeniable, non-judgmental, non-intentional, unconditional love state that is so powerful, it allows for the actual trauma work to be processed in a way that's really safe. It allows people to stay super embodied, just like regular trauma work, but it also has that extra added infusion of light and the information that light carries and the remembering of our essential, truly who we are self. That has nothing to do with our human life or anything else that's happened to us in this human form. Yet all of that affects us, so we have to clear it. So I would say that those are the two uses of it for trauma work, and just to enrich your life and the lives of people around you, and to live in integrity. The judgment thing is really huge. We have so many judgments. We don't even realize how much we're judging day to day. And in my opinion, like, that's a sin, is just judging self, judging others, you know. And when we judge like that, we are not turned toward our loving self. We are not turning toward source. We are turning toward negative bias. We are turning toward ego. We are turning toward the false self, the less than beneficial aspects that have been, again, created through the development of our society and our educational systems and institutions and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that gives everyone a really broad and detailed idea of what core self is. And Lisa, thank you again for giving us all that information, the protocol, the experience. It's very much appreciated.
You're welcome.
So, folks, that's it for our first series. I hope you've really, really enjoyed it, got lots out of it, and we would really love to hear how this is landing with you. So if you leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate that. We will be reading them all, and we will be back for series two. See you soon.
If you are interested in taking the CRM training,
it's all available online.
The link to the schedule is in the show notes.
And we look forward to seeing you next time.